Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
Welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, and most importantly, Happy New Year. Jim Garrity of National Review is here. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim, we embark on our fourth different year of the Three Martini Lunch. We started in late 2010 and have been going ever since. And Happy New Year, everybody. Just about everybody's taxes are going up, just not as much as they might have been if this deal hadn't been done up on Capitol Hill in the very last minutes. Well, not even really the last minutes of 2012, but really the first minutes of 2013. So we're going to be spending most of our time talking about the limited good news here, the exorbitant bad news, and some crazy aspects to this, too. And Jim, the good news is that some of the Bush tax cuts are made permanent. We don't have to go through this rigmarole again in another year or two. We see the estate tax, most of the tax rates, that sort of thing taken care of, as well as a permanent patch to the alternative minimum tax, although repeal would have been much better. We'll get to the horrific parts here in a moment, but some people will definitely disagree with this. For some people, and really for a lot of people, it's not as bad as if we had gone off the cliff. Other people say this is worse than not doing anything, but when it comes to those things that we did want to be dealt with, at least those were dealt with.
Yeah, actually, I'm feeling, you know, a little bit better as the day goes on. And I guess one of the things that comes to mind is, think about how much we had fought over the Bush tax cuts, going back to 2001, going through the various extensions during the early years of Obama's presidency. And now, for everyone making less than $450,000 a year, and that's, you know, I mean, much better than the $250,000 threshold that per household income that Obama was talking about on the campaign trail. They got Obama to give up a considerable amount of ground. And now you've got a circumstance in which, you know, we don't have to revisit this fight. That if Democrats want any additional tax hikes, they're going to have to say that they had this in their back pocket. Well, someday the Bush tax cuts are going to expire and then they automatically go up and we get what we want without even having to vote for tax hikes. Now, that advantage they've had is now gone. And I actually kind of think that, look, as frustrating as this is, Obama has now gotten what was his fig leaf about dealing with the deficit and debt, that pretty much for the past 4 years he's invoked the Buffett rule and he's invoked all these, oh, if we just tax the rich a little bit more, we could take care of this problem. People like you and me look at that and say, what are you talking about? That's like 6 or 7% of the deficit if you're lucky. And you probably won't be because people will change their behavior and move money overseas and stuff like that. And lo and behold, we've taken away the Trump card Obama used all the time. It's going to be really fascinating to see what Obama says on the debt, on deficits, on entitlements, now that he no longer has this, well, we just got to tax the rich some more card to play. And so I think, as much as there's a great deal of frustration here, I actually feel slightly better about this because the Republicans can say with great legitimacy, having passed a bill that was $41 in tax increases for $1 in spending cuts, to say, okay, we took care of your part of the equation, the Democrats' preferred part of the equation, now let's look at spending cuts. And I think that's a much better argument for them to have. And I also think that we're going to see, you know, look, Obama got what he wanted with these tax increases, and we're going to see the deficit for this year probably not get changed much at all. And so I think this is going to be sometimes you have to learn some things the hard way. But this is going to be a very vivid way of illustrating to the American people that Obama never knew what the heck he was talking about in these matters. And, he wants a balanced approach. Okay, Mr. President, you got what you want. Now it's time for us to, try the approach we want. And we'll see where that debate goes. But I feel pretty good about that right now. And if you think about it, considering where Democrats were the day after Election Day, for them to sign on and overwhelmingly sign on to extending the Bush tax cuts for 90-some percent of Americans – is that's not where a lot of them expected to be. There's a lot of liberal grumbling, and we can kind of feel pretty good about that this morning.
Jim, remember at the end of last year when we said we were going to have better good martinis in 2013? We're not off to the best of starts, but we still have over 360 days to go. So hope springs eternal. So let's talk about the bad news now. And the bad news comes in a number of different ways. I think you pointed out the most glaringly obvious one in the Morning Jolt today, and that's that you're not going to get an ideal deal, unfortunately, when you get the election results that we had in November. Obama was reelected. The Democrats gained in the Senate. They even gained in the House. They just didn't get the majority. And when the Democrats control two out of those three parts of the equation, it's going to be really hard to have a lot of leverage. At the same time, as much as I believe the president and Democrats were wrong in their approach to this negotiation, in addition to having the media squarely in their corner, their PR campaign was just infinitely better than what the Republicans had to do. The Republicans left everything up to John Boehner, and while I don't agree with a lot of what he did, at least he tried. He was the only one really trying to make the best out of a horrible situation, and ultimately the Republican messaging just wasn't that good, and it wasn't that great in the campaign as well, unfortunately. So there's a lot of work to be done here, and unfortunately, the president last night, right after the vote, talking about once again how it still needs to be balanced. We need more revenue out of corporations and rich people. So while we might have a slightly bit of higher ground now that the president got his big issue that he talked about during the campaign, it doesn't look like he's going to stop trying to bleed the wealthy, and that's obviously going to be a sliding scale.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts there. I mean, look, the fact that, you know, it's getting a lot of attention this morning, and it's kind of fascinating how this really wasn't a part of the debate for the past couple of weeks, is the payroll tax increase. Basically, everyone in America who's working is getting a 2% tax increase on the first 100 and some, whenever the payroll tax expires. I think it's like 100 and some thousand dollars. But and, you know, a lot of people say, look, that's going to have a significant economic impact here. So as much as Obama goes out and we save the Bush income, you know, the Bush income tax increase, a separate tax increase is kicking in today. I'm not terribly broken up about that because it was always designed to be temporary. But it is now legitimate to say, and as I pointed out on Campaign Spot not too long ago, even The New Yorker is saying President Barack Obama has raised taxes on every working American as of January 1st, period. You know, it's going to affect people's paychecks, and they're going to start feeling it immediately. And that's, you know, about $1,000 over the course of the year for somebody who's making $50,000 a year, more for those making more. That is going to affect the economy. They think probably a half a point to a point of GDP growth will get shaved off because of this. We are in this situation because, we, you know, ultimately we have a president and a Democratic Senate majority that do not believe in cutting spending and believe that the economic impact of tax increases on the wealthy is not that bad. And now we get to see just how bad it is. What's more is that for all their talk of protecting the middle class, with a payroll tax cut expiration, taxes are going up on everybody anyway. And then, of course, you throw in the Obamacare taxes. And any separate state and local tax increases kicking in 2013, you know, I mean, you'll be kind of surprised if we don't end up in another recession by the end of the year. So the outlook is still bad, and we can get to the crazy martini about what really is kind of driving me bonkers about this entire mess, the dog's breakfast of a process. I heard some people describing. Dana Perino was very quick to emphasize that her dog eats a lot better stuff than this in the morning.
Well, let's get right to it, because I think most listeners to our Three Martini Lunch are aware of the bad parts of this, not only the specifics of the bill, but just the philosophy that was embraced in moving this forward. I think it was the CBO that said there's $41 in new taxes for every dollar of spending cuts, $680 billion in new taxes for $15 billion in cuts. So not exactly the balanced approach that the president was talking about. But other things that drove me nuts is Wolf Blitzer berating a Democratic senator for not knowing if he was going to support the deal. Since the senator hadn't read it yet, he said he wasn't ready to commit to it, and Blitzer was just absolutely stupefied that since Biden and McConnell had worked out a tentative deal, that this guy wouldn't instinctively be behind it. But ultimately what happens here, Jim, and we've talked about this in the whole lead-up here, is that you've got 535 members of Congress, and ultimately this comes down to a couple of people drinking coffee and deciding that everybody else has to go along with it.
Yeah, I think probably the ugliest part of this bill was how it was constructed. You mentioned the Democrat voting for not being sure he wanted to vote for it because he hasn't read it. In his defense, Greg, it wasn't a health care bill. So that's really the standard for that. But look, you look back to Obamacare. You look back to the stimulus. You look back to the previous debt ceiling deal. This is now how we deal with big, messy, complicated problems in this in Washington, which is that the leader of one party and the leader of another party get together, a kabuki theater of conflicting leaks and you know, public statements, and each side accuses the other of being stubborn, et cetera, and then they get right up to the deadline, and whatever they have has to be the solution, or else you go past the deadline and there's another disaster. And, oh, by the way, we're going to hit the debt ceiling in another 2 months, and so that's then, you know, we're going to get a rerun of this in about 2 months from now. This is not a good way of making this decision, because by the end, I mean, whatever comes out of that 11th hour, If you're in Capitol Hill, you're given this, you know, two terrible options. Why we can't have a Senate that passes a budget, why we can't pass appropriations on a normal schedule, why we can't, you know, deal with these things in an open, direct, clear manner is baffling and maddening. I think the only thing you can conclude is that this is how the White House likes it. This is clearly a system that, you know, Boehner and McConnell have become relatively comfortable with. This is the way Washington works. And if you want to change Washington, you need to change who's being sent there. And we just missed a huge opportunity at all levels in 2012.
Way to go, America. Way to go. Jim, not exactly the start of the year we were hoping to have, but there's a new Congress tomorrow. So, of course, I'm sure things will be radically different once all these new members are sworn in. But all we can do is stay on top of it, and we'll be glad to do so. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it, Greg. Good to be back.
Absolutely. Jim Garrity of National Review. By the way, do read The Morning Jolt. Absolutely. Read it every day, but especially today with Jim's thoughts on the fiscal cliff as well as children's entertainment. Great read there. He's Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.